I'm gonna tell you a story now. But as any good storyteller knows, one must first be sure the audience is prepared. Is everybody comfortably seated? Does anyone need to use the bathroom? Oh, you, sir, in the back? Well, hold it in.
Now, where to begin? How about once upon a time?
How many times have you heard that to begin a story? Let's do something else. I got it.
Oh, no, no, not the book. How many have seen opening the book before? Close the book. We're not doing that.
Okay, let's get this over with. Three little kittens loved to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Then their mother came out and said, "Time for kittens to go to bed." Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Keep reading.
Come on.
All right.
Grandpa, maybe you could come over and read it again to me tomorrow.
As you wish.
The end.
We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week 9 of a series we've entitled Stories. And through this series, what we've been doing is we have been looking at the stories that Jesus told. You see, he would often tell fictional, made-up stories with made-up characters and situations, all for the purpose of helping both the audience then and us now to understand what is God like. Now today, as we look at another one of Jesus' stories, we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question: how can I know what my value is to God? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to pull out your Bible, pull up the YouVersion Bible app, and we're going to turn together today to Luke chapter 15. We'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, or NLT. Words will also be up on the screen. And when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers will be up on the screen. And when we get down to the bottom, I promise I'll go sit down and we'll be done. I want to say hi to those who are watching online. We're so glad that you are watching with us. And we like to know who is watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a moment to write in the comments below, tell us who you are, who you're watching with, and maybe where you're watching from? Our hosts are there with you in the chat, and they would like to greet you. We're glad you're here. So Luke chapter 15, we're jumping into a story in the middle of where Jesus is talking. So we're going to hit right into it. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 8, and here's what it says. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would challenge us, that you would change us, that you would help us to see just how valuable we are to you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. It is no secret around here that I am not a Green Bay Packers fan. Okay, it's not that I hate them, it's just they're not my first choice. My team is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've obviously been doing pretty well as a team for the last several years, and I've had this dream of one day. I want to go see them in person. I want to go to a real live Chiefs game. And so last season when it started, I announced to my better half, my wife, I said, "I'm going to a game this year." She's like, "No, you're not. I'm going to figure out a way." "No, you're not. You can't do it. You can't afford it. You have to be at church, and it's always during church, right?" I'm like, I've got to do it. And I went through the whole year. I tried to figure out, could I travel to an away game? Could I travel down to Kansas City? I just wanted to go to a game so bad. And the whole year went by, and I never went. I mean, I even tried to get Super Bowl tickets. Yeah, couldn't do that. Now, this season, I'm like, I did not get to see a game last season in person. So this season, I am super determined. I'm going to do it. I put my foot down, with her permission, that I'm going to go to a game. And I'm going to make it happen. As a matter of fact, I got an ally with me. You see, I got my friend Josh, who's also a big Chiefs fan. He's from Kansas as well. Originally from Arkansas, but we forgive him on that. We're like, we're going to go to a Chiefs fan, Chiefs game. We're going to do it. And here's what I discovered when they came out the schedule, that this year of all years, the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the NFC North teams, which means they're traveling up here. And there's a weekend in October that the Chiefs are going to play the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm thinking, that should be pretty awesome. I hear they have a dome. They have a roof. So it doesn't matter what the weather's like. It's going to be great. Not like that Lambeau Field or something, right? And so I'm deciding what we're going to do. I talked to Josh. Yes, we're going to do it. We're going to put our foot down with our wife's permissions. And we're saying we're going. So we looked up the price of tickets. Actually, I was paying attention to when the tickets first came out, like as soon as they're released. So we're not talking resale tickets. We're talking about regular tickets. And here's what I discovered. That the cheapest seats in the entire stadium for that game were selling for $250. We're talking about nosebleeds. We're talking about obstructed views. We're talking the worst seats in the stadium. $250. And I'm like, and you know, Josh and I, we're thinking, we're like, we weren't making a plan to go have terrible seats that are worse than our front row seats that we have in our living room watching the game on TV. Like, if we're going to go to a game, we're going to sit closer to the field and get to see the players and not have to use binoculars, which means it costs a lot of money. We had to decide, was this going to stop us? And so, together, encouraging each other, we made a decision. We're going to find stuff to sell, and we're going to put it out there on Facebook Marketplace, and we're going to raise the money. We're going to do this. And so, with our better half's permission, of course, putting our foot down, we announced to them, we're going to a game. And they said, okay, that sounds good. We pinched ourselves, thought we were dreaming. And we said, well, it's going to be expensive, but we're going to find some stuff to sell. We're going to raise the money to be able to do this. And both of our wives individually had this response to that statement. Are you guys planning on selling one of our kids? To which we thought, I didn't know that was an option, you know, to sell a kid. Now, for some of you, you're hearing this story and you're like, I cannot believe Pastor is talking about spending that kind of money to go see some grown men run around on the field after a leather ball. That doesn't make sense. I don't get this. I don't understand. But then there's also some of you in this room who are like, Pastor, that would be amazing. Like, when's the next time they're going to be here and be in an enclosed stadium and you have a chance to see your team right after they just won the Super Bowl and everything? You got to do it, Pastor. You got to do it. You see, what's the difference between these two people is that some people find this experience valuable and some do not see the value in it. And so if we're going to talk about value, and we talk about something of value, it's important that we know who's the audience. Who are we even talking to today? You see, when Jesus was telling this story that we find in Luke chapter 15, Jesus knew his audience. See, we can ask ourselves, who was actually listening to this parable, this story that Jesus was telling? And if we were to rewind to the beginning of chapter 15, we discovered that there was a bunch of tax collectors and there was some notorious sinners. They were all there hanging out with Jesus and Jesus was talking to them. But there's also the Pharisees and religious leaders who are like, I can't believe Jesus is talking to those people. Like, does he even know? Does he even care? Like, ugh, they're awful. God wouldn't be near. If he really was the Son of God, he wouldn't be with them. But you know, that meant that Jesus' audience was people who were far from God, who did not know God, as well as people who thought they were close to God, but really were just pretending. You see, Jesus was relating just how valuable a person is to God, and he did it in a way that his audience would understand. You see, when we read this story today, if we are not careful, we can miss the impact or the importance of the story, what Jesus was trying to get across to us. You see, when we are trying to understand the Bible, we've been teaching some methods on how you can understand what the Bible is trying to say to you. And the number one rule of biblical interpretation or proper biblical interpretation is to always take a passage or a scripture in context. Read what's in front of it. Read what's behind it. So you can see, because it should match up. You don't just pull something out in a vacuum. That's the first rule of biblical interpretation. But the second rule is one we're looking at here today, to recognize that when the Bible was written, it was written to an audience that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that they have a whole different culture and a whole different system. They have a whole different way of life. And that if we just take it at its face value and try to stamp it onto our culture and our life and our values, sometimes we get some weird results that don't make sense. Like, really? Did God really want us to do that? You see, in the second part of proper biblical interpretation, it's important that we look at a passage to recognize who the intended audience was, to understand how they viewed it. And what we don't look for is the literal sense, but we look for what is the truth that applies then and that we can actually then translate to our life, to our time now, to a truth we can apply then. That truth is known as a transcultural truth. Transculture that applies to that culture and applies to our culture. So this passage, it's important to understand who our audience is and how they saw the story. So Jesus, knowing his audience, he shared the story of the lost coin, and his audience immediately understood the value of that coin. He said, a lady had 10 coins and lost one. Now, if we're just looking at this from our perspective, we don't understand it, because in our culture, coins are meaningless. Like, we don't have coins. I mean, she has 10 coins. Wow, like 10 quarters, 10 dimes, 10 nickels, 10 pennies. Whoopty. Like, that doesn't matter. Oh, she lost one? I mean, we lose coins all the time, right? That's why we go into our couches and our cars and everything. We find coins. I mean, as a matter of fact, I got a jar in my dresser overflowing with coins I just find. One day, they'll equal up to something, but I don't care if I lost one, right? We're not walking around picking the penny up off the street. And so we don't understand. She had 10 coins. She lost one. And then she went go looking for it. What does this mean? Well, remember, we have to understand culture at that time. So if we were to do a little bit of research in the culture at that time, here's what we discover. That in that day and age, when a woman got married, she received something, a gift. The proper word is a dowry. It was a gift. And what the gift that she received was a necklace made of 10 silver coins. Okay? Now, each coin was a real coin that had some monetary value. It was worth about a day's wages. So she carried around her neck the sum total value of 10 days of wages. But it meant way more than just the monetary value of 10 coins. I mean, this showed that she was married. This was something that only belonged to her. And if it came that the family was in debt and need to pay it, it couldn't even be used to pay debt because it belonged to her. This was special. This was something she had. It showed that she was married. If we were to look at a modern day equivalent, it's like a wedding ring. So when Jesus said a woman had 10 coins and lost one, the audience who's listening to this says, oh, her marriage jewelry. That was funny. Her marriage jewelry. She lost one part of it. Oh, that's important. Now, remember I said my friend and I, Josh, we're going to go see the Chiefs. We got to figure this out. And this past weekend, his mom and dad visited him all the way up here in Wisconsin. They're from Arkansas. And his mom decided to bring him a present. Something from his past that he had forgotten about. You see, when he was in high school, his science teacher challenged him to memorize the entire periodic table. And Josh did this. He memorized it, recited it in class, and so the teacher gave him a present. and that present has been lost all this time, except his mom just recently found it, decided to bring it with her to Wisconsin this past weekend, thinking Josh might want this because it should have sentimental value. Let me show you what she brought. She brought this little black box here, and inside this box was a gold coin. He had received this gold coin, and immediately when Josh saw this, he's like, what perfect timing. Could this get me to the Chiefs game? But in order to be able to do that, he'd have to figure out what's the value of this coin. Now, obviously, Josh was not harboring any sentimental value. He didn't care. It's been missing all this time since high school. But he looked it up and realized that if he took this coin to the bank would honor what the printed value is on this gold coin, which equals $5. It's a $5 gold coin from 2000. Okay? It's worth $5 to the bank. But then he thought, wait a second. I know it's made out of gold, real gold. It's a tenth of an ounce of gold. So he looked up gold rate and thought, what if I could take this to a gold pawn shop and turn it in for its value of the precious metal it's made out of? You know what he discovered? That the gold in this is worth way more than $5. It's worth about $250. And he's like, wow, that's getting me closer to my Chiefs tickets. But then he had a thought. Okay, it's worth $5 to the bank. It's worth $250 to the gold pawn shop. But what about a collector? And so he went out on eBay and found this coin and found the last time that it sold to a collector that someone paid $450 for this coin. Wow. Why the difference? Each person puts a different value on what this is. But I tell you the value that Josh sees in it, he's seeing Ryan, we're going to the game right here. He's the value he sees in it. Now, Jesus' audience, when he was talking about this lost coin, they knew what it was worth. And it was worth way more to the woman than simply its monetary value. And so when Jesus said, won't she light a lamp and look all night and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? You see, his audience identified immediately with both the urgency and the never quit aspect of the search. They understood that he said it in such a way. He's like we would all do this, right? Like, of course this lady is going to look, and she's going to look all night, and she's going to look for this and not stop, and she's going to find it. You see, the audience understood the importance, the value of this lost coin. Of yes, of course we would all go look for that. Yeah, anyone would do it. It clicked. It made sense. About 10 years ago, we were living in Kansas, and my in-laws or my wife's parents came and visited us, and we had, at the church that we were serving at, we had a Saturday night service, just like we have a Saturday night service here. And they said, hey, you guys have to go to the Saturday night service because you have to work there as pastors, but we would like to take your youngest, Radley, and we're going to take him out to the Great Mall. That's what it's called, the Great Mall, or as my kids call it, the Not-So-Great Mall. And they went to the mall, and they were there during service, and we're going to meet up afterwards to go to dinner. But at the end of service, we got a phone call, and it was my wife's parents on the other line, and they said, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. We are with Radley, and all of a sudden, Radley ran away, and we couldn't keep up with him, and we cannot find him, and we have been searching for him in the entire mall. We've contacted security. They're locking the mall up. We don't know what to do. We're so sorry. Wow. So, let me tell you how we responded. We said, well, we know you probably tried your best. It's okay, because we have four more. It's okay, you know. He must not want to live with us anymore. No, we didn't do that, did we? No, we're like, we'll be there in 2 seconds, and we broke every speeding rule, everything. We got to that mall, we helped him to search, and you know what? We never found Radley. He's gone. Or, you all know that Radley's here, we didn't stop searching until we found him, right? You wouldn't think of just saying, well, we tried for 2 hours, you know. I mean, that was more than what most people would do. Let's just give up. We wouldn't do that. I mean, if I told you that we actually said those things and actually did those things, like, well, oh, well, you would be turning us in, you know. Like, you would be saying, you're terrible. I mean, like, whether you're a parent or not, you're a decent human being, you'd be like, uh-uh, that's not what we do. Why? Because kids are valuable, right? Like, you just don't do that. You just don't say, well, okay, let's just go find another one, right? Let's just go replace them. But this is exactly what Jesus was trying to get through to his audience. He was saying, of course she would look for this coin. And he's saying to you and I, of course we would look, I mean, for a kid, right? If we lost a kid, of course anyone would. Let's pause for a moment about this. Jesus is talking about a coin, that's what's lost in the story. A coin that was part of decorative jewelry commemorating a marriage. What did that coin do to get lost? Nothing. There is nothing that coin did to be misplaced or lost. I mean, that coin didn't decide, hey, I don't want to be hanging around this lady's neck anymore. It didn't grow legs and just walk. It just didn't decide, hey, I'm being rebellious, you know, I want to do my own thing, you know, you're not the boss of me. No, this coin did nothing and yet still found itself lost. It was misplaced. It was in the wrong place. And like the lost coin, maybe you feel misplaced or lost as well. You see, there are things that happen in our lives, things that happen to us, circumstances, maybe things that were beyond our control, that have nothing to do with us, but the end result is that we feel lost, misplaced. Life has happened to you instead of you happening to life. And sometimes we tend to blame ourselves. But really, we're not to blame. It's just the way that life was for us. But it doesn't negate the fact that we feel lost, like no one cares. No one's there. You know, when I think about what Focus Church is doing for foster care, that God has called us to impact foster care. This summer, we purchased one of our neighboring homes. The plan is it's going to be the first of a couple homes that we do that is intended to help impact foster care. And this particular house, we're going to be using it to help kids transition who are aging out of the system, that all of a sudden they have nothing, and that usually ends up with trouble, the law, jail, because no one's there for them. We're going to do something about it. That's why we put it on our door and why we put it on our shirts. We do something here at Focus Church. And when I think about these foster kids, you know what? These foster kids didn't do anything to get where they're at. They did not ask to be in foster care. They are there simply because of the actions of someone else. But you know what? No matter what the reason, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what happened, it does not make these foster kids any less valuable. No matter what's happened to you, whatever brings you here today, it doesn't matter what's happened in your past, what you have done, it does not make you any less valuable. You see, Jesus in the story, he was sharing that God, just like the lady in the story, he notices that you're missing, that you are not forgotten, that he doesn't say, well, at least I got a couple other billion people to take care of. I can lose a few. No, he knows that you exist, that you're there, and he's searching, and he's going to take the never quit aspect of searching until he finds you. Just like this lady, this story Jesus was sharing is saying, this is what God is like, and this is what he wants to do with you. He is searching for you. And you may say, why? Why would he be searching for me? Because in his eyes, you are valuable. See, now Jesus rounds out the story by describing what happens when the search ends. You see, heaven parties when the lost is found, because that's how valuable you are. When a lost or misplaced person is found, all of heaven stops what they're doing and they throw a big party. You see, someone valuable has been found. You know, it's the whole reason why God sent his son to this planet. He did not send him because he wanted to start a new movement, a religious group. He did not send him to be a good teacher or a healer, perform miracles, or to be even a good person. He sent him with one singular message, with one purpose, all rooted in one concept. You see, God loves people. He loves you very much. He places a high value that even when humans messed up with the very first humans, Adam and Eve, and now because of what they have done, we experience the penalty of their sin. If you are born human, you have the penalty of sin. And that penalty is eternal separation from God, that there's nothing you can do to be forgiven of your sins. Someone has to pay the price for your sin. That's our birthright as human beings. But God thought you were valuable enough that he would come up with a plan to say there still needs to be forgiveness. And he figured out a way, and it involved saying, taking something that was highly valued to him, his son, and he sent him to this planet with one purpose, so that he would die for your sins and for mine. That's how valuable you are. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, gave up his son so that he could be right with you. You matter. So when Jesus shared the story, he wanted them to realize something, and he wants us to realize something here today. He shared the story so that we would change our view of God and how we operate in light of God's view of us. And I think we should turn it into a statement, something that changes who we listen to, who we believe when it comes to our own value. And so it might sound something like this. It's found in the blue box on your notes. And it says, I realize that I'm valuable to God. Now, when I saw the price of the tickets for the Chiefs and Vikings game, I was floored. But I decided I needed to find out if this was just a normal thing that, hey, I didn't realize that maybe Vikings games are always expensive. Right? There's some Vikings fans in our church, and when I told them the plans of going there, they're like, oh, Pastor, it's an amazing stadium. Definitely, Pastor, you got to figure out a way to go. It's going to be awesome. So I'm thinking, oh, they have a new stadium. It's really expensive. That's why all the tickets are expensive. Or maybe the Vikings are just that good that everyone wants to pay a lot of money to see them in person. Well, that can't be true. So something must be off here. And so I wanted to do some more investigation into this. And so here's what I figured out. So I looked as of yesterday that if I wanted to go online to Ticketmaster and buy some tickets to the Chiefs versus Vikings game, the cheapest ticket yesterday, $225. The most expensive ticket, $5,000. Okay? For the Vikings, yes, for the Vikings, yes, okay? So I'm like, okay, let me pick another Vikings game and see what the tickets cost for there. So here's the game I picked. I picked their home opener, the very first game of the entire season, you know, while the Vikings still have a winning record, right? And so that should be like its highest value for the year. They're playing the Tennessee Titans in the beginning of September, in the first game. And when I looked at what the cheapest tickets were, right now, there's a whole bunch of tickets for sale for $5 a piece. The home opener. Okay. And as surprised as I was that they're only $5 a piece, I went to look for the best seats in the house. Home opener. Best seats in the house. As of yesterday, I could buy 2 tickets on the 50-yard line on row 1 for $264 apiece. Okay, now, same stadium, same home team, same seats, but a huge difference in value. So what changes the value at U.S. Bank Stadium? It's who shows up. Who's in the house? Not the Vikings. Who else is in the house? And let me tell you, the who matters. The who, when it comes to like Josh with this gold coin, the who matters of what the value was, whether it was the bank, whether it was the gold pawn shop, or as the collector. The who matters when it comes to the Vikings and how much their seats cost, so who else is showing up. And let me tell you, the who matters in this house, in this place, in this family, because the who is God. And it doesn't matter what you think your value is. It doesn't matter what you've been told your value is. It doesn't matter what you have done to affect your value. Your value is what God thinks your value is, and the creator of the universe thinks you're worth having his son die over. He values you, and that if you are lost, just like this lady who lost one of the gold coin or one of the silver coins from her marriage necklace, he will search and search and search and search and not give up until you're found. And when you're found, parties in heaven. See, this is the whole point why Jesus came. I mean, Jesus was questioned many times. Why are you hanging out with the notorious sinners and the tax collectors? It's so awful. You must not really be from God. But he explained it once in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, I came to seek and save those who are lost. That was his mission. That was the plan. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us a future. And why? Because you are valuable to God. So stop believing the lies, the half-truths. Stop having pity parties about your value. Turn to God who loves you. And how about starting some parties in heaven when you turn to God and say, God, I'm in. Thank you for valuing me. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take a moment to talk with God. God, we're just in awe today when it comes to value and what you value us at. As we learn in the story that your son shared about the lost coin, we realize that you're looking for us and that you're not going to stop because you care. And God, that message right there gives some of us hope today. Some of us in this room and some of us watching online, that gives us hope to say, really? I don't have to believe the lies anymore. I do matter. God loves me. So God, I pray right now that we would all feel this reassurance about our value. That our value is in what you think of us. Not what we think, not what's been said about us, not about what we've done, but what you think. And God, we thank you that you search for us. God, I pray that we would live our lives being thankful for the value you place on us. God, may this one thought, this one concept change our outlook on life, our perspective, our outlook on you, our relationship with you. May it change how we operate and think. And may we always say thank you in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning we said, if you came today looking for hope, hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here today. And here we are at the end. We've been talking about it this whole time. God loves you so much that he sent his son to pay the price with his life for your sin, for your penalty, so that you could be set free, so that you could be a part of his family, so that you could be forgiven, that you could have life with purpose and mission, with hope and a future, that you could find focus to your life. You may say, Pastor, what do I got to do to receive what you're talking about? Well, the Bible describes there's two parts to this. One, we got to have a conversation with God, and we call that conversation prayer. In that prayer, we make a decision to say yes to God. We recognize we're not worthy. We say we're sorry, but we say, God, I'm placing you as the leader of my life. The second part is that you're not meant to follow Jesus alone. You're meant to do it with others, with the family. But he provided a way for us to be able to tell others about the decision, about that prayer we had with you, with God. And that's why we get water baptized. When someone's getting water baptized, they're going public with their faith, public with their decision to follow God. That anyone who's watching them get baptized, they're knowing, wow, that person made a decision to follow God, to put God in charge of their life. But right now, I want to talk to you about that first part, and I want to help you with that prayer, that conversation with God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer, repeating after me. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. No one prays alone at Focus Church. You see, this is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray together right now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.